police district courts. I've had the occasion to carry clothing to Baltimore City Jail when members were arrested. But it was my experience to enjoy working with them and the causes for which they stood.
How many Panthers were involved? How many
that
city
was,
members were
that
there?
Was a little hard to say because they came and they went.
Yeah.
They came and they went. And many members that were members of the Black Panthers were also members of the school, Soul School, and vice versa. But it was a little hard to determine how many were Black Panthers. You didn't always know who was a Black Panther. You didn't always know.
Did you, I gather that you must have dealt with Warren Hart.
Yes.
At some time. Could you
yes.
tell me a little about
well, it was,
dealings with him?
My dealings with him came about as a result of their breakfast program that they set up for school children.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked very closely with him on that project.
Was that successful?
It was quite successful.
Where was it held? Was it held at a church?
Yeah, right over here. Oh dear. Oh, the church is a Catholic church. Right?
On Eager Street?
Well, on Eager Street, they used to have, see, when they started out in the church, and then they carried it, you know, into other areas. But I'm trying to think what the name of the church was that they started their big program. Well, go on, and we'll come back to that. I was looking for it. It's right over here. Well, isn't that something I've been, dear, Lafayette West. And I don't see it in here.
What is the street address, or roughly where?
That's why I was looking for it.
Oh.
St. Vincent de Paul's.
Where did the, how was the recruiting or the selecting of students for the breakfast program carried out?
Frankly, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot tell you how they got the children's names. I know that they started their work in East Baltimore, basically. And they went into recreational halls and schools and that kind of thing. And whether they use that as their recruitment source, I don't know. I cannot tell you. But I know they were concerned with getting children that were low poverty, low income children, and they made no discrimination.
Do you remember, was this at the very beginning when they first started here, that they carried out this program in 66, 67, 68?
No, they had been here. This was after they had come here.
When I talked with Colonel Harris, he said that at one point they had an office or a headquarters on Gay Street.
Right.
And that during the disorders of 68, that they threatened to shoot police officers and took pot shots at them. Do you remember any of this kind of role that they
there were many
antagonistic?
There were many accusations made that the Black Panthers, we all know, were anti-police. We all know that. There were many accusations made against the police. Mm-hmm. I mean, against the Panthers insofar as the police were concerned. There were even some killings that the Black Panthers were accused of. There were bodies found of men who were said to be infiltrators of the police department into the ranks of the Black Panthers.
Mm-hmm. Did you, on this line, did you have occasion to know Chiki Young at all?
He's one of the cases you're speaking of. Yes. Ironically enough, he was a member of staff until just a few weeks ago here.
He was here?
Yes, he was a member of our staff. I covered old Chiki's trial when he was on trial. Mm-hmm. I knew him very well.
And what kind of role did he really play? Yeah. I mean, if you knew him well, maybe we can kind of assess what was happening in this period. It's so hard to...
If you recall, I said a few minutes ago,
yes,
it was hard to tell who was a Black Panther and who was not a Black Panther. There were a group of young men who said they were sympathizers with the Black
mm-hmm.
Panthers. That was the role that Ochiki claimed he played.
Mm-hmm. Where is he now?
He has gone to work up in the office, I believe, the same, no, he's not in the same office with David Glenn, but he has gone to be a counselor for ex-offenders in the State Department.
Mm-hmm. Maybe while we're on this subject, we could talk a little, or you could tell me a little bit about Freedom House. And its purposes and how Dr. Jackson set it up.
I'll be glad.
And who was playing for
Freedom House came into being because the particular area where Dr. Jackson resided as well as performed her lifelong work was plagued with a great deal of robberies and general neighborhood problems surrounding the police department and their efforts to do something about it. And that was really basically why Freedom House came into being. After it was started, people from all sections of the city began to come to Freedom House and present their problems. The basic aim was to acquaint the police department with the direct problems of the people. And as a result of acquainting them with the problems, to do something about it. That is one of the reasons why
public. There is a strong belief that there was some kind of connection between the police department and Freedom House. There was. But it was a wholesome, healthy connection because it was felt that the policemen could be educated about the problems of the people, and the people could be educated about the problems of the police department. But Freedom House went on to be concerned about the problems in various areas of the city. Housing was one of them, employment was one of them, summer employment for young people became another project. And at its annual dinner, they would make awards to various members of the police department as a way of saying thank you for understanding and doing something about the problem.
Did Colonel Harris receive one of those?
Yes, he did. And Colonel Watkins, what is his name? He's a colonel. It's a Colonel Watkins.
When Freedom House was set up, Lily Jackson was in her later years.
Right.
And did Juanita Jackson Mitchell have a large influence on
Oh, but definitely, because it was in the declining years of, I always refer to her affectionately as Miss Lily. It was in her declining years, and it did necessitate a great effort on the part of Juanita as well as Boyne.
What kind of relationship did Juanita Jackson Mitchell and her mother have? It's been said that Juanita was her mother's right arm.
She was.
Was she?
She was, indeed. She had a beautiful relationship with her mother. She really, in all the years that I've known her, Juanita was always right at her mother's side in fighting every cause that her mother was interested in that became her cause also. And of course, in these later years, she was a very devoted daughter to her mother in every sense of the word. Every sense of the word. And now, very often when I talk with Juanita, she says, oh, Evelyn, I miss Mama so much. And she says sometimes, even though I know it was her wish, that she often said, this old body is old, and why don't I go? Why doesn't God take me? She says, it's hard sometimes to know, even though it was Mama's wish, I miss her so very, very much.
Did her sister play not as much of a role?
Well, you see, Juanita has another sister whose name is Marion, and she is a concert artist. But both Virginia and Marion lived out of Baltimore City. Marion lives in California, and of course, you know, Virginia lives in Atlanta.
Right.
So even though they were concerned and they were always on beck and call, they were not here. Boyne was living in California also at one time, but he came back home. And Juanita was very happy when Boyne returned to help her with some of her mother's business, real estate business aspects.
Mm-hmm.
So even though they were dutiful children, they were not here on the scene as was Juanita.
Mm-hmm. There were some criticisms of Dr. Jackson and her real estate that she owned.
Yes, this is true. There have been criticisms of Senator Mitchell's real estate. He's been into difficulties about that, and there certainly were criticisms made about the real estate that she owned.
Would you say they were founded or?
I am in no position to say whether they were founded or unfounded, except to say this, that Senator Bernie Welcome, too, is another person who has been criticized about her real estate interest. These problems came about because of housing inspectors and, you know, their beliefs about the upkeep and meeting the standards of the city insofar as property was concerned. So all I can say is that much of this was attributed to what came out of the papers, and this is all that I know about.
You mentioned, and I've heard the comment several times now, almost in fact by everyone I've spoken to or read transcripts of their interviews, that there's been almost a backsliding in the past 4 or 5 years.
But definitely.
In 1970, and maybe this has also been mentioned as the last time that the black community was unified, when Judge Howell and Joe Howell and Milton Allen and Paul Chester ran on the same ticket against this, quote, establishment and won. Since that time, of course, I guess it was Mr. Allen, or maybe it was Mr. Chester, who was defeated just recently.
Both of them.
Could you tell me the
now, wait a minute. Paul wasn't defeated. He got into difficulties. Okay, go on.
And what I'm trying to do is get you to kind of pin down what happened in that sort of shady period between after the riots, after the disturbances, and peaceful settlements worked out, and then something happened. I was also told, and I guess what I'm aiming at is your comments, that Joseph Howard was shifted around City Hall for being outspoken, or now this was given to me as
you say shifted around City Hall,
yes, before he became a judge, I guess. He was sort of shifted into different positions in City Hall. Is there any? I don't know very much about
him. You mean
the
state's attorney? He was an assistant state's attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And because of his outspokenness, he was a controversial figure. He became a controversial figure. But he went on to stand in the election and won an election as judge. And that didn't stop Joe from being an outspoken person. I think what you're asking me is, why did there become a disunity? I think that's what you want to ask me.
I'm just bringing the 1970 elections and this up. It's not a reference.
And certainly, whatever I would say would be my personal opinion.
Of course.
As to what caused the disunity. We, at least I, have watched many of the people who were the backbone of the fight. Because of the fact that they were not financially dependent or independent, become targets of the political arena. And I suppose, in some instances, by and large, it has been because of monetary greed. There has been a complete breakdown of leadership. it seems that black people in this city who were outspoken have had certain pressures brought upon them. And as I said before, unless they were financially independent, just collapsed. We don't have many people that are financially independent and able to stand up to the status quo. One of the things that I know Miss Villa used to always say was that she would not become a member of any board because nobody was going to shut her up. And when you become a member of a board, you are asking to be controlled in some manner. And I think that many of the outstanding jobs with high-paying salaries to black people, mostly black males, it's been one of the reasons why there is a disunity. I know that I was a member of the original Model Cities Board. And during my strenuous efforts with that board, I watched certain people who received certain jobs just stop talking and stop pushing. And that in a nutshell is my feeling. You just, in this city, now, run a terrific risk for doing anything that is in the black cause. I don't know whether you've heard this before. It may have been said to you in different ways. I was trying to tackle in saying it.
You certainly have succeeded. Yes.
I have lived through it and am presently living through it. I don't know where we're going or how we end up.
Well, is there anything you'd like to add?
I think not.
Okay. All right.
One thing that I certainly do not want to forget to mention, and that is the integration of the school system here in Baltimore City. Now, that was a great chore, and as you know, still is.
Oh, yes.
But during the integrational period, we had many uprisings in the schools themselves, where the students were concerned. This agency, along with Box Harris's Community Relations Group, was called upon on many occasions to go into the schools and to attempt to quiet disturbances. We had parents in certain areas, such as the Hamden area, who became directly involved in, and I'm speaking about white parents,
right,
who became directly involved in hostile actions. And this agency was called upon to literally police activities in areas where this was being done. We created here in this agency what we termed a
I can't recall, but anyway, we started a group, started with a group of ministers who would go out and observe as disinterested parties what was happening as a result of the brush fires that we had during the time of the integration. We certainly played a great role in bringing that about. This agency also set up workshops, and we set up workshops not only with the school situation, we did this with housing, trying to bring groups together and better understanding during the transitional integration period in housing. We were called upon, and I suppose to a certain extent we are not, called upon to act as liaison in the educational disputes, in the housing disputes, in bringing about a better understanding between community and city government. Much of our information comes to us through what was established under Mr. Glenn and known as rumor control.
How did that function?
Rumor control, downstairs on the fifth floor here, we have telephone set up where, and this came into being as a result of the riots in 68 or the civil disorders. And the public is asked to call rumor control it for the purpose of clearing rumors that might stir up problems. And rumor control's responsibilities are to check the rumors out and to give reports on what their findings are.
What was, when was the transitional period in the school integration fight? That's been going on for a very long time.
Oh, it certainly has, and for you,
wasn't it?
And for you to ask me when?
I assume that here you're talking about the more recent period.
The more recent period, as efforts were made on the part of the Board of Education to integrate certain schools on a larger scale than what they had been doing, and of course this was because of HUD's insistence that they do more sincere integrating than what they had been doing. So as the momentum picked up to become more integrated, we found more problems coming about. And this just has been going on ever since 1967. On a large scale. Mm-hmm.
And I assume again that the Jackson family was in some sense involved in this push. Did NAACP pick up on this campaign, or did any individuals, any of the Jacksons or the Mitchell?
I'm trying to think when it was that Mrs. Jackson stepped down as the president of the NAACP. During her regime, there was nothing that went on in Baltimore City that the Jackson family wasn't involved in. I'll tell you that now. But I cannot recall the year that she stepped down. I'm might say that the NAACP has never been as active since she stepped down as they were while she was president. Mm-hmm. But there has never been any great issue that created any problems that they were not a part of.
And so was the city cooperative? Was the Board of Education cooperative?
Now we get into a whole new ball game. When we start talking about cooperation,